Chapter 16, The Customer is Always Right. In the next few days, Americans must have guzzled up a lot of lemonade. Poor Gus showed up at the door with an enormous sack full of envelopes. He looked like Santa Claus. Money and gifts poured in from all over the country. Deep in the pile was a card that said I had a package waiting for me at the post office and that I should come get it right away. I went over there to pick it up, and the package was a dog, a little cocker spaniel I named Chester. I always wanted a dog, so at least something came out of running for president. Lane took care of all the details. He opened a bank account and carefully recorded each donation. He rented office space and coordinated volunteers to run it. An artist was hired to draw a picture of the moon, with a photo of my face in the middle of it. The logo was used on our bumper stickers, t-shirts, buttons, and flyers. The campaign was picking up speed, and Chelsea was acting more and more friendly to me at school. She came up to me at my locker one day, and she said she had something important she wanted to talk about. I've been reading up on First Lady, she said, and they always have something they're crusading for. You know, keeping America beautiful, reading, women's rights and stuff. Is there some cause you want to crusade for, I asked. Well, I was thinking, do you know how many silkworms die to make a silk blouse? I have no idea, Chelsea. Lots, she exclaimed. So you want people to boycott silk clothes? It seemed like a weird clause to me. No, she exclaimed, horrified. I love silk clothes. I want to lead a crusade in favor of better conditions for those poor silkworms. At first I thought she was putting me on, but the vacant look in her eyes told me she was absolutely serious. For all I know, silkworms are an endangered species. I say go for it, Chelsea, I said. If you believe in a cause, you have to fight for it. Mom and Dad could no longer pretend I was just fooling around. When Dad knocked on my bedroom door one night at bedtime and asked if we could have a little talk, I was surprised. The last time we had a man-to-man, I had just run over his vegetable garden with the snowblower. Dad sat down on my bed and fiddled with the globe on my nightstand. I don't know much about politics, Judd, he said. All I know is cardboard boxes. But somehow, I figure they're all pretty much the same. This I wanted to hear. When I sell a customer a pallet of boxes, I want those boxes to be strong. That's the main thing. If the boxes are weak and fall apart, that customer will never buy a box from me again. The president has to be strong too, right, Dad? Right. But it's not good enough to just be strong. A box has to have other good qualities. It has to hold lots of stuff. It has to stack easily. It can't weigh too much. You have to be able to put it together quickly. And it has to be labeled clearly so people know exactly what's inside it. A president has to be a lot like a box, right, Dad? In a way, yes. For just about the first time in my life, Dad and I were communicating in an odd sort of way. Dad, I asked, what would you do if customers really liked a box, but you knew perfectly well that the box was poor quality? Simple, he replied instantly. I'd sell them the box. Even though you know it's not right? The customer is always right, Judd, he said. That's the first rule of selling. You've got to give the customers what they want. But what if the customers are stuck with a piece of garbage? That's their problem, he explained as he got up from my bed. They get what they pay for. Maybe next time they'll use a little sense and pick a better box. Thanks, Dad, I said. He flipped off my light, and I thought about that before falling asleep.